This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. Professor, the head of the Inter-American Development Bank, the chair is empty, and there are nominations I see in The Economist, the Bellow columnist, writing about all of these choices. Mexico has a choice. Brazil has a choice. Chile has a choice. There's an intention to favor a woman for the post, a worldwide trend. However, at the same time, I need to understand the place of the Inter-American Development Bank, and especially how this connects with the G20 meeting in Asia in these last days. What is the nature of the IDB? How does it serve all of these large economies?
Well, John, just like we have the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund on the global scale that came out of the post-World War II Bretton Woods system that governs international economies, the Inter-American Development Bank, which is part of the Inter-American system is largely led by the Organization of American States. The Inter-American Development Bank has become one of the chief financing arms, although certainly not the old one. You have sub-regional institutions like the Central American Integration Bank. You have pseudo-private ones like the Andean Promotion Bank, CAF, and others. But the IADB certainly has been the blue chip, free market oriented, transparency oriented promoter of loans and development across the region. So what it does and how it does it is important. It has a role also through its respected analysis. And so there's been some concern, for example, since China joined the bank, that the tone of its analysis and the way that looked about the impact of China in the region has been muted somewhat since 2009, as well as the question of who its loans go to and how they're conducted. And so, again, China jumping in with co-financing funds and things like that in recent years. And so, really, how the bank runs affairs has a lot to do with the tenor of capitalism and finance and who participates in Latin America. So aside from Mauricio Clavel Caron's personal issues, he at least tried to be an advocate for U.S. interests and transparency and good governance at the IADB. And so really what's at stake here is the future direction of leadership, whether you have technological and technocratic competence, and also the way some of those leaders could look towards other actors such as China, who want to participate in the bank. Traditionally, the United States, which has 30% of the vote in the bank, has a strong role. But we seem to be returning to the era in which the United States respects the informal rule in the bank to let a non-U.S. person have the leadership. And so right now it's a jockeying between some of the biggest powers in Latin America who have the lion's share of the votes. Brazil has 11% of the votes over this. Argentina has 11% of the votes over this. Colombia and Chile have a block. And so it's really the future of what multilateral financing of capitalist progress looks like in Latin America.
You remind me that three of the G20, Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina, are certainly involved in the conversation in Asia about the future development, and China always comes up when these matters are mentioned. Is the IDB a critical player when it comes to Chinese investments? China isn't a natural participant. I mean, it doesn't have a border. It doesn't have a history in Latin America or South America. Is it now seen as a new player?
As you point out, John, it is interesting to note that while everyone is focusing on the President Xi Joe Biden summit in Bali, Indonesia at the G20, the G20 actually represents three Latin American countries, Mexico, Argentina, and Brazil. And so much of what happens across the developing world has to do with the role of China. So yes, the China is involved and impacted by the IDB in many different ways. It is arguably at the same time a gate through which China can enter among many other gates. And it's also a potential tool for promoting more transparent market oriented as opposed to state to state negotiations. And so it's been critical, especially under the previous governance of Luis Alberto Moreno, how the IDB relates to China. The previous record was that ever since China joined the board in 2009, it used that to influence some of the intellectual products of the IDB, as well as position itself to benefit from some of the loans. And indeed, in recent years, you even had at the end of the Alberto Moreno tenure there, the IADB actually trying to do one of its main senior meetings in China itself. And so the question of to what degree the IADB becomes a vehicle for allowing Chinese companies to key themselves up for loans through things like co-financing funds or just knowledge of where those funds are going to go, or to what degree the IADB becomes a vehicle for pushing back and have a more level playing field with rule of law. Again, that's what's at stake. And in many ways, that's also what's at stake in terms of those G20 discussions in Bali over really what is not only the shape of the global power and global order, which affects Latin America, but the rules of global governance and global institutions.
In our final 30 seconds, would you say that Latin America is empowered these days because it is recovering as the rest of the world is recovering, and so it doesn't need to feel behind? Everybody's going through struggles.
Latin America certainly continues to have its endemic problems of corruption and poor governance and inequality. Although it's certainly recovered from COVID-19, those, especially with the deepening turn to the left and statist projects, will pose some very real risks to the prosperity of Latin America. Although these are problems that are also faced by the rest of the world and will continue to shape the evolution of politics, just as the evolution of politics in places like China and Russia will shape of Latin America.
Yeah, the old man in glass house and throwing stones. Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, New World Report. I'm John Mack.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.